But it is a blessing to be able to share the word of the Lord, especially on this particular day. I am truly grateful to have been brought up in the church and to have my mother and father teach me about the love of Christ and what that means for me personally. I'm not getting to heaven because of my parents. I'm getting in heaven because of the relationship I have with Jesus Christ. And without my parents and my grandparents instilling that into my parents, instilling into me, and I pray that I can instill it into my children, who often I get the opportunity to talk about the love of Christ, they have beautiful questions for me. And I'm grateful that through my own experience and in my own life with my parents, I'm able to answer those questions and search with them, and they're interested. Get them now before they're teenagers, because then they're going to be like, whatever, no. Like my sisters did. I mean, you. Never mind. But I am grateful. Thank you, Pastor Nick, Brother Fred, for always being there to help out when I need it. I want to thank my Uncle Bryant for when I need to reach out. He's always there to answer. And to thank Brother Russ. I've known you my whole life. And I still don't understand a word you're saying, but I'm grateful that you tell me these things. No, I am grateful, Brother Russ, for you, for putting those pieces together that sometimes I'm not able to at first to see. So I thank you for that. Today, my sermon's going to be about faith, love, and obedience. And what these three words mean according to the scriptures, and what the role they have in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. First, let's just go over just the basics of what faith, love, and obedience is defined as. And then we'll look at how they're defined in the Bible. Faith, used as a noun, is to have complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Love is an intense feeling of deep affection, to put one's interest above your own. Obedience, compliance with an order, request, or law, submission to another's authority. When the Lord first touched my heart to write this sermon months ago, I was on fire, I was excited, I was like, all right, what do you want me to preach about, Lord? And he touched my heart about doing the Lord's will and what that looks like and what that means. And so I said, okay, yeah, being obedient to your will, to what you ask us to do. He says it's more than just being obedient. It's more than just doing what I tell you to do, because anyone can be obedient. So I hope that I'm able to share with you the importance of understanding faith, love, and how it pertains to obedience. I'm going to be reading today. I have some scripture here from the New American Standard as well as from the NIV. So let's start with faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. I remember being in Sunday school, 14, 15 maybe, Brother Russ, and you teaching that about faith and what it means to have faith and what it looks like. So I'll never forget Romans 10:17. Acts 6:7. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. A great number of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Habakkuk 2:4. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by faith. Romans 1:16-17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed. For to faith, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Hebrews, my favorite book, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. Faith is an attitude. It's a mindset. It is the complete and utter trust in Christ, to depend on him him alone for everything. It can be small, it can be big. Our faith in God is the absolute most important thing, and we need to put our all and our reliance on him alone. Faith is to abandon, leave behind all the reliance on oneself, and to believe on the word of the Lord. Again, Romans 10:17. To hold on to the promises of God in Christ, relying totally on the finished works of Christ for salvation. Faith is the one way by which we receive salvation. Acts 16:30, 31, John 3:16. There is no substitution for faith. It is essential in our relationship to Christ and our salvation. We should be anchored to the Lord in all things and in all ways. When I write this, I swear, it takes me like so many hours, but I have to slow myself down because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm halfway through my sermon. So, but I swear when I'm writing it down, it's like, this is going to take days to go over. Love. I'm going to break love up into three parts. God's love for man, love to the Father and one another, our love to the Father and one another, and the love between the Father and the Son. Deuteronomy 4:37. Because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, and he brought you from Egypt by his great power. So this is giving us an example of God's love for man. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 4:7 through 10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. These passages show God's love for us from the beginning. It's not our own doing that God loves us. It is just who he is and what he has for us. Now let's look at love for the Father and one another, our love to our Father and to each other. Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against the sons of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Matthew 5:44-45. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father and who is in heaven. Deuteronomy 6:5 and Deuteronomy 10:12. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all ways, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament, so God, from the beginning, shows us how we should love each other and love him. And of course, let's not forget John 15:12-13. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. This shows us the love that we should have for our Father and the love that we should have for each other through him. Now we're going to look at the love between the Father and the Son. And bear with me, because all of them are, I have to flip through. So John 3:35. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. John 14:31. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in love. John 17:24. I think it's because all the Bible study in John, that all these passages came out. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. That one is just so beautiful, because it talks about before we were even made, before the world was even created, this bond between Father and Son, and how pivotal that bond between Father and Son was before anything else. Matthew 17:5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us from the damnation of the darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We see so clearly in these passages how the Bible defines love. Love God has for us, love we should have with each other and our Father, and the love between God the Father and his Son Jesus. We are the objects of God's love, yet it's personal in nature. His love is rooted firmly in the personal character of God himself. God is love. Through faith, this love between us and the Father will be sustained and cultivated by the work of the Lord, Deuteronomy 36. The relationship between the Father and the Son is of pure love and affection. It is mutual and returned. Our salvation is based on this mutual and returned love between the Father and the Son. Their relationship is the perfect example of love we should have for the Father. That mutual and returned. Jesus reveals his love to us and his love of his Father by way of countless acts of compassion, his teachings about God's acceptance of the sinner, and his attitude towards disobedience. Therefore, Jesus is the incarnation and personification of God's love. He is God's love for us. Our love for one another should imitate God's love. And that's not easily done, but through God it is. We should see each other as one whom Christ has died for. He didn't die just for me. He died for all of us. So through God, I should love you as I love myself. With such love, we draw near to the Father. And it strengthens our faith in him. Faith works by love. Just from these few examples of faith and love, and believe me, if you look at the concordance, the Bible is riddled with faith and love. To understand faith and love, gives you a better understanding of what the word and term obedience means. Because anyone can be obedient. The Muslim who prays 5 times, that's obedient, right? The Buddhists who do their thing, that's obedience. The distinction between our God is that we have faith of who he is and what he says, and the love of him gave us our salvation. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We believe that Jesus gave his life for us because of the love that he had for his Father. We believe that the Father saw the love of God and Jesus and sent him to be our salvation. Through that faith that we have and that love that we cultivated with our Father, we are to have the desire to do his will, the desire to ask, what is our path? That path that Pastor Nick preached about a couple of weeks, that faith and that trust that Brother Fred preached last week, having that faith and that love drives us toward the will of the Lord, the want, the desire. So you can see obedience and not see it as we do it because that's what God tells us to do and that's what we do. You look at it in terms of how our relationship with him changes our heart to want to do those things, even if it makes us uncomfortable, or even if it makes us scared, or maybe out of our comfort zone or different than we've ever experienced. We're not really sure why God wants me to do this and want me to go there when I've never gone there and done that before. Because of my faith and my love in my Father, I ask every day, Lord, give me the strength to do your will. In my work as a clinical therapist, the people I work with, give me the strength, Lord, to see them as a person that you have died for. In my personal life, Lord, help me to do your will in my relationship with my husband and my children, relationship to my mother and my sisters and my family. Help me to do your will, Lord. Help me to do your will and to follow whatever you ask me to do. I want my focus to be on the Lord, because if we love the Lord and put him first, I shouldn't have to worry about anything else. Because of my faith and my love, I want and desire to please the Lord. And so I wanted to talk to you today first about understanding what faith is and what love is and how it pertains to our obedience, how it pertains to our desire to do the Lord's will. I was hoping that I would have my piece on obedience done, but I kind of wanted, as I was working, the Lord wanted me to have you guys really focus on that faith and that love before I discuss what obedience is and what it looks like in the Bible. Because in the end of that, we get to see the ultimate obedience of Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for you and I, who loved his Father and did his will despite being spat on, ridiculed, embarrassed, broken and bruised, thirsty, hanging from the cross. It brings us to understanding that Jesus, who did nothing to deserve that, took it upon himself to take our sin and do the will of his Father. I always love that passage where Jesus went off by himself, prayed to his Father. I love that passage because it just, I can't imagine. Yeah, I can die for my children that I birth. I can die for my individual family. But can I die for the neighbor across the street who blasts their loud music and has their dog, you know, barking loud all hours of the night? Can I die for that person who drives and cuts me off? Can I die for that person who looks down at me? I can't even fathom. So I love that passage because it shows the humanity of Jesus when he's praying and he's asking his Father, if there's any other way. And his Father tells him, this is the way. And because of the love Jesus had for his Father, he said, okay, Lord, let your will be done in my life. And so I will do as you ask me to do. I will fulfill your will. I will become your glory and show the world how much you, the Father, loves them. How much you, Lord, want a personal relationship with each and every person you created. How much you hold their personal interests above your own, Lord, and have a direct path for each and every one of you. So my Lord hung on that cross because his faith of the Word of God and his love for his Father. And so he was obedient to the Lord's will despite his death. That has to be a scary thought to know what you're going to go through. And if you read in John, Jesus knew. He knew. He read it to the people. He knew what was going to happen to him. And he kept his face like a flint and went there anyway. I know no other God who would lay down his life for us. I know no other God who wants a personal relationship with us. I know no other God who has a particular and specific path for each and every one of us. Because there is no other God. There is but one and only. So with that faith and love comes doing the Lord's will. And although it may be hard sometimes, I ask that you all take time to ask the Lord, what is your will for me, Lord? I want to please you. I want to draw near to you because of my love and faith in you. I hope that I'm able to speak again and expand a little bit upon, like I said, obedience. I hope that you were able to get something out of today's sermon in regards to faith and love and how it plays a pivotal role in our relationship with him. And I hope that when I speak about obedience, you can pull forth what you know and understand that the Bible tells you in regards to faith and love. One of these days I'll be able to preach as long as my dad or maybe Pastor Nick. I don't know. But right now, the Lord is okay with what I'm doing this time. I never thought the Lord would ask me to share his word. I love my Father dearly, and I am grateful for this opportunity. I pray each time that the Lord will help me to grow and develop. And if it's his will, to continue to share his word with you all. It is a great honor to be called, and it is a great honor to want to do the Lord's will. It is scary, but he has my best interest. I do so wish my Father was here. But the Lord's will was to call my Father home and give him rest. And maybe that gave the opportunity for us to have Pastor Nick, the opportunity for my Uncle Brian, which then led to the opportunity for me. So although sometimes my heart is saddened that my Father is not with me, I have the peace, as Brother Russ said, that I will see my Father again and he will know who I am because of the promise of God, because of the obedience of the Lord. I will see my Father again. Thank you for taking the time to be with me this morning. I appreciate the opportunity, Pastor Nick, Brother Fred. And I've got to work on my ending, too. I'm not really good at this. really, I thank you. This is my church home. And wherever you go, I go. Whether we stay or move on, I'm there. Because I'm here to do my Lord's will. Thank you for this opportunity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you again for touching my heart. I want to thank you for calling me to do your will. And thank you for helping me be faithful in that will to you, Lord. I pray that some bit, some way of this sermon has touched those in the congregation today. If it's to take a moment to ask you, Lord, what your will is for them, what the will is for our church, just ask that they touch them. You touch them right now, Lord. Help them to cling on to you, to anchor their every thought, need, want onto you, Lord. Open their hearts and their ears to hear you. I want to thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, sharing with us your promises. And despite whether we are obedient or disobedient, your faithfulness to us. Despite our obedience or disobedience, what you say, you will do. And I thank you for that, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that you touch everyone in this congregation. Help them to continue to look for you for guidance and love. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Hit it, brother. Oh.